Very difficult, of course, because I mean, obviously, ISIL at the very, very beginning of its organizational structure didn't have much security controls, and you know, got some moles in. But then they really geared up, and there was quite a high level of vetting of individuals who even got close to Baghdadi. So this is something that that wasn't started a couple of months ago. This was a long-term, most likely, I mean, not that I have any operational details, but very most likely, it was a very long-term prepared placement of an individual who slowly rose through the ranks. This is not something that any service could have pulled off in the last 3 months.
That's pretty remarkable to hear something like that take place. I mean, this individual apparently got so close that he was able to supervise the construction of one of Baghdadi's compounds, particularly the one I think that was destroyed in this raid. But this seems to have been someone that was planted there from the beginning, not a turncoat, right?
Yes, I would think this is more likely. I mean, obviously, after the defeat of the caliphate, there's also much less money for everyone involved in it. The emirs in the Islamic State, while there was a caliphate, were actually extremely well off financially. But I don't think taking a risk where at any point where you discovered will get you killed, I mean, literally killed or even barbarically killed by ISIL standards, is something where you can turn someone. You really need someone who does that out of conviction, and that means it's a long-term process to get him planned, getting through all the security checks, make sure that he rises through the ranks and is deeply trusted, because you're not getting just anyone building the or supervising the compound. That means there was an extreme trust in that individual, and that means this is a long-term planned thing. You're not turning someone who has that level of trust just the last couple of minutes.
How do you handle or run someone like that, a spy like that?
Well, essentially, you don't. The less you contact you have, the much better for all sides involved, right? So you're not doing this. There is a high level of trust from the side who runs the individual, obviously also in the individual's conviction, because you cannot do this in with a very tight control. You need to wait for them to contact you when it's opportune for them. And you need to make sure that that kind of communication is very, very seldom, because each time there is a communication link, just as for the other side, for your side is the same risk that something happens, even a stupid accident, and then the communication is discovered and then it's all over. There's only one mistake that you can make, and that's your last one. So, you know, you essentially don't run this individual with a tightrope. You give him as much leverage, and you hope that your trust is repaid. And in this case, it seemed to have worked out.
Is there anything else you want to add as it relates to this killing of Baghdadi? And of course, there are others in the stream here. We've heard about Muhajir, and of course, supposedly there's Qardash out there now. Anything you want to add on the idea of who's next and what's next?
Yeah, I mean, on the Qardash situation, I just wanted to add there is a very interesting analysis of Site Group, who does a lot of open source monitoring and chat rooms of the Islamic State, and the whole theory that Qardash may be the successor is based on one document that was put out allegedly by the Islamic State, which turned out after a lot of examination by Site as not a original document. So this may actually be a deliberate smokescreen to hide whoever they are preparing to be the leader. But it seems in my mind, based on what I've read about that document, unlikely that Qardash is an actual option here.
That's very interesting. What more do you know about Qardash?
Not very much. It's just that he's one of the medium level leaders, as far as I understand. And the only thing that brought him to prominence was that document that kind of said he's now the second in command a couple of months ago. But if that document is not actually originally written by the Islamic State, then, you know, that really puts it into question whether he was number two. And apart from that document, there is no indication that he was. So, you know, I wouldn't put my money on him at this point.
Hans Jacob Schindler is the senior director of the Counter-Extremism Project. JJ Green, WTOP News.